Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Deploying and Managing Power Pivot for SharePoint. My name is Kai Unkroth, and I am a program manager in the analysis services team with focus on integrating the AS engine, the analysis services engine, into SharePoint and other environments. And that is one of the focus areas is Power Pivot for SharePoint. I'm assuming that you have seen some of the presentations about BI, and you've come across a few slides already where other presenters showed how to publish workbooks in Power Pivot for SharePoint. Here today, we're going to go deeper into the system architecture, and I'm going to explain to you how to deploy Power Pivot for SharePoint, what tools we have in SQL Server 2012, what's new in this area in comparison to 2008 R2 if you already have the previous version running in your environments. I will also go into the typical topologies and server configurations that you can deploy Power Pivot in a SharePoint farm environment, specifically the single server deployments and then the variations of the multi-server farms that are available and help to scale out for large loads. We'll also cover in a very detailed nature the system architecture to help you understand how the entire system works, which is a prerequisite if you want to effectively manage this system. It also explains on some level why certain management features and configuration settings are available in central administration or in other locations. So let's get started by explaining a bit where Power Pivot for SharePoint fits into the Microsoft BI picture as a whole. We, in the SQL Server organization, focus on business intelligence components that integrate both on the client, on the desktop side with Office. That's where Power Pivot for Excel comes into the picture so that you can actually create Power Pivot models. But on the other end, when it comes to the collaboration platform, we integrate with Power Pivot for SharePoint and all the other technologies that we provide in the BI space, and SQL Server build on that. The key aspect here is that SharePoint is our collaboration platform. We integrate very deeply with it, and you cannot use Power Pivot for SharePoint, obviously, outside of a SharePoint environment. But collaboration is only one aspect where our customers find Power Pivot for SharePoint really helpful. The other aspect that is often a little hidden under the surface is actually that Power Pivot for SharePoint gives you the ability to refresh Power Pivot workbooks on an automatic basis, on a scheduled basis, daily, weekly, or monthly, according to a schedule that the user can specify directly. And that is, in fact, one of the main reasons why users want to publish Power Pivot workbooks in a SharePoint farm, so that the analysis is always performed the next day or whenever it's required on the most recent data. The key features that we have in Power Pivot for SharePoint that are driving the adoption are, of course, the browser interactivities, that you can open a workbook in the browser and interact with it without having to install Excel 2010 on your desktop or the Power Pivot add-in. Scheduled data refresh, I already mentioned that. The ability to upload a workbook to a document library and then configure data refresh settings on that workbook and then let the system update this workbook for you. For IT professionals, very important is also the management dashboard, which provides statistics about the workbooks that are shared in a SharePoint environment. You can see what workbooks are most popular, how many users are using it. You can see how the system is behaving. Is it under heavy load? Is the resource consumption high? Do we need to scale out? Or is the system performing well? Workbooks as a data source is another important feature in Power Pivot for SharePoint, which is not very visible. If you've seen PowerView in action somewhere, you've all come across it already, because PowerView accesses workbooks as a data source, meaning these workbooks actually act as analysis services databases under the covers, and Power Pivot for SharePoint makes that possible. And we have some eye candy in the product, which is our Power Pivot Gallery, which actually in some environments is used as a productivity feature, but for the main focus, really, it is just to look pretty. And we have some advanced features like BISM connection files that make it easier for users to connect to analysis services databases in the environment, and data feed libraries where we provide the option to publish documents that make it easier to download data, for example, from SharePoint lists. So let me show you real quick a rundown of all the main features that we have. I switch my computer. First, I would like to show you the gallery. If you haven't seen this yet, this is a Silverlight-based document library view on top of standard document libraries in SharePoint. The default library view in a SharePoint site looks more like this. And if you have PowerPivot installed, you get this new document library type, which provides a more attractive view. And as I mentioned, some customers can use this also as a productivity feature. The gallery has multiple different views that you can enable. The default view is this gallery view, but we also have a theater view and a carousel view, which actually, on this document library here, I have enabled the theater view, provide a preview of the document in a size that you oftentimes don't even have to open the workbook anymore in Excel, Web Access, or on the client. If a workbook has multiple worksheets in it, then the carousel view can be very helpful there too. And in fact, some customers really only look at these thumbnails and never really open a workbook anymore because they can recognize already the most important information that is actually available in the workbooks. And if you don't really need the interactivity and the analysis, if you're really only interested in key performance indicators, that would be one way to get a very quick view. Schedule data refresh, I already explained that, and provides the ability to refresh these workbooks on a scheduled basis. So here is that little schedule button directly available in the gallery. And on a workbook, you can enable the data refresh schedule and say, I want to refresh this workbook on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. You can also specify that it at what time it should run. The question is, does data refresh support multiple runs during a day? And the answer to that is unfortunately not. We are not planning to implement this feature on a more frequent interval because data refresh is very resource intensive. And in large farms, there are issues that can occur when, imagine you have thousands of workbooks that are supposed to be refreshed every night. For that reason, we don't really feel comfortable enabling it on a more frequent basis. It's actually a very common ask where people want to refresh workbooks on an hourly basis. Some want to refresh it on demand, right when the data source data is refreshed, then refresh the workbook. That is also not available. There are some blog sites out on the internet that discuss how to hack our system and actually achieve what you want to do. Yeah. One side thought, though, on that level that I have is if you have a PowerPivot workbook that you need to refresh on a more frequent interval and the system doesn't really allow you to do that, a question I have is PowerPivot then really the technology you should use for that solution? Could you migrate it to a tabular database? Then you get the functionality you need. Yeah, I hope PowerView can help you on that visual part a little bit. But yes, so the answer, unfortunately, no, we don't support it more frequent than daily, and we have no plans to support it in the future. You can, very important, you can specify credentials on a workbook because this is now a server refreshing your workbook. The system account on the server may not actually have access to your data sources. So you can specify your Windows credentials here, and then the system will actually go with the credentials you specify and refresh the data. Another important aspect is that you can perform the refresh on the individual data connections. I only have one here, but if the workbook pulls in data from multiple sources, you can specify these settings on an individual connection level. Next, I would like to show you workbooks as a data source, and that can be very easily demonstrated when I click on a workbook here, for example, and bring this into Power View. I don't personally design reports. For me, the exciting part is already over when you see the screen, when I see my little measures and calculations and tables. How many components do you think are involved in this process until you see Power View here on the screen? Guess. Do you think 1, 2, more than 5? It's actually 8 components that have to work together to show you this workbook is an AS database here. So first, this Silverlight client communicates with the reporting services add-in on the front-end server. This reporting services add-in talks to reporting services service application on the application server. That one talks to ADOMD.net, which is our client library. ADOMD.net uses our channel transport. That communicates with the Power Pivot system service on the application server, which communicates with the SharePoint content database to actually grab the workbook and load it into the AS engine, and then you're ready to actually create a Power View report on top of that. And we're going into that detail in a moment. So this is what we call workbooks as a data source. You're accessing this PowerPivot workbook like it was an actual AS database, which in fact it is. For the management dashboard that I also want to demonstrate, we have to go into central administration. I already have it open here. In central administration, when you are a farm administrator, on the main screen we have added a new link when you install Power Pivot for SharePoint, which brings you into the management dashboard. And as I mentioned, this gives the SharePoint administrator an overview. When I click right, gives an overview of what's going on in the farm. I will come to the management dashboard architecture in greater detail later in this presentation. You can also create custom reports on top of the management dashboard infrastructure. If the information you're looking for is not readily available in a dashboard, you can connect to the system because it is also based on a Power Pivot workbook. It's taking a little bit here to load this page. Essentially, the management dashboard is a collection of Silverlight controls that use our workbook that holds the usage data and Excel web access web parts, and it provides some useful links to go to further configuration settings, but more about this later. Let's move into the actual deployment of our technology. How do you deploy Power Pivot for SharePoint? Well, you start with Windows Server 2008 Service Pack 2 or with most likely Windows Server 2008 R2. We do not currently support Windows Server 2012 Preview as an operating system underneath SharePoint there. It's recommended you apply the most recent updates on your operating system, of course, and then you install SharePoint 2010 Enterprise. We only run in Enterprise Edition. Also important to have the most recent updates and data providers installed on the system. So this includes, for example, our 2008 R2 data provider. There's a difference between the data providers we provide with SQL Server 2012 and 2008 R2. You need both if you have in your organization Power Pivot workbooks created with the previous Power Pivot for Excel add-in. Like if you have users that use 2008 R2, make sure you also install the 2008 R2 data provider on your SharePoint servers. Otherwise, you might find that older Power Pivot workbooks don't load successfully. As a separate step, I called out here that you should install the OLEDB provider that comes with SQL Server 2012 and our ADOMD.net provider. Both of these are included in SQL Server setup, so when you install our system, they will be installed for you. But not every SharePoint server will run our system service, so on other servers, I recommend installing them. If you will read the product documentation online, we go into very detail what service uses what data provider. For example, Excel services only uses the OLEDB provider, so theoretically or even practically, on an application server that runs Excel services, you only need the OLEDB provider, not necessarily ADOMD.net. And PowerView, I already mentioned it, uses ADOMD.net, so you don't need the OLEDB provider there, MS OLAP. But if you want to make life a little easier, you just install all the data providers on all your servers and you get a more consistent system configuration. And if you move services around in central administration, then you don't encounter unexpected behavior because the data provider is missing, perhaps on an application server. Very important in SQL Server 2012, at least for us, is the Power Pivot configuration tool. This tool didn't exist in the previous release, and it was created because the deployment story in 2008 R2 was very difficult for customers. The configuration tool itself actually performs all the steps to configure the farm for Power Pivot. When you install SQL Server 2012 with setup, we do not touch the farm at all. In fact, you don't even need a farm configured on the system. All you need is you need to have the bits down on the hard disk when you install SharePoint with setup, but you don't have to even run the configuration wizard that is available with SharePoint. We can do that automatically with the config tool as well. So in fact, my demo machine I just installed and then run the config tool. It gives me the ability to deploy a new farm. I specify a minimum set of information, and I'm good to go. So let me show you a little video how I set up my system. Of course, I'm not going to show it in full length, so I cut it short, and then I put it on double speed. So it will be a little fast, but that's the only way to get it through in time. So first we'll install the SharePoint prerequisites. It's a little tool that comes with SharePoint, gives you the updates, you accept the licensing agreement, and it installs all your prerequisites, and you're done. I recommend restarting the server afterwards, and you're ready for SharePoint setup. When you run the setup executable, make sure you choose the option to install the complete server farm. This is the only option that supports Power Pivot for SharePoint. Once you are through this process, you get the option to run the configuration wizard. I opted not to do that because I will do this as part of my configuration wizard afterwards. Now we're coming to the part where we install the cumulative update for SharePoint, which actually includes the Service Pack 1. So you don't need that as a separate step, although the SharePoint org recommends that you do this separately. You download it, you extract it, then you run it, and then the SharePoint installation part is done. Takes a little while to update the SharePoint files on the file system here, but not in my video, of course. Then we are ready to install the SQL Server 2008 R2 MS OLAP data provider, which is available in the feature pack. Again, you download it, extract it, run it. Next, we can install the data providers that come with SQL Server 2012. Again, we have a feature pack for that, where you can individually download these packages and install them. And then we are ready to run SQL Server setup after that. And that's the really interesting part, and as soon as we get there. So SQL setup has a special option for us, for Power Pivot for SharePoint, which is not the typical installation option that you would normally choose to install an AS server or a SQL server. On the next screen, after we accept the licensing agreement and install the setup files, of course. There. So we are not choosing feature installation. We are saying SQL Server for PowerPivot, and maybe I should stop this. I also chose to install the relational engine because SharePoint needs a database engine underneath it, of course. And the rest is relatively straightforward. Most important to point out is that you need to specify a domain account for the AS engine instance for SharePoint. We do not support local accounts. This is a requirement that already comes out of the SharePoint farm environment. You're required to run with domain accounts, which sometimes when you set up demo machines like me, it can become a bit of an issue because you always need to run a domain controller on it. And then we're good to go. We're going through this installation process real quick. And after 3 minutes, zip, zip, you have a Power Pivot for SharePoint server. Of course, that's not the case. It usually takes a few hours to install everything. Downloading a patch is a tedious process. Some of them are a few gigabytes. I mean, the SharePoint CU, for example, is 1.1 gigabyte large right now. Very important is also to install the cumulative update 1 for SQL Server 2012. We have a problem in the scheduled data refresh feature that was fixed after the product was released, and this fix is available in the CU. So make sure when you deploy the 2012 version of PowerPill for SharePoint that you also deploy the cumulative update. And, well, as you've seen, there's a lot of steps involved, a lot of updates. You can make it easier for yourself. It's, if you were just install one server, I would say just go through this all. Take maybe 2 hours of time and you will be done. If you have to do this repeatedly, it is better to prepare your installation media, and then life can be a lot easier for you. For example, the SharePoint prerequisites, you can download all the prerequisites from the web, put them in the prerequisites folder on your SharePoint installation files, and configure a prerequisites config file so that the SharePoint prerequisite installer runs unattended and picks these installation packages directly from your file system. This speeds up this entire process to get SharePoint ready for installation tremendously. You can also integrate the SharePoint updates directly into the SharePoint installation media. They have a very cool way of picking this up. Within the SharePoint installation folder, you have an updates folder. If you extract the updates directly into this folder, SharePoint setup will automatically pick up the updates as part of your first setup, and then you just run SharePoint setup and the updates are automatically applied. With SQL Server, it's a little trickier. We don't have an updates folder in SQL Setup, but we have a switch called CU Source where you can actually specify the location of the update package. You would download the CU1, extract it to a folder location of your choice, and then when you run setup.exe, you say slash CU Source equals and give the path to the CU, and then Setup will also update the installation files before it actually deploys the AS server. So far, we've only covered the server installation, which brings you an AS server onto the machine, but you are not yet in SharePoint. And the reason why we've split this has to do with how SharePoint actually deploys solutions. When you install our components with SQL Setup, you will find under the installation path, SQL Server, Tools, Power Pivot Tools down here under Resources, you will find that we are installing certain Windows SharePoint packages that are then ready for deployment and that our config tool will pick up and actually deploy. In SQL 2008 R2, we try to do this all as part of setup, but the problem in SharePoint and when you run this as part of setup is that you have really no guarantee that all these timer services are running on your SharePoint servers at install time. But you need to have all the servers up, otherwise these solution packages are not immediately deployed on all the servers. And if they are not immediately deployed on all the servers, then the status of your deployment package doesn't switch to deployed, and then setup would sit there waiting 10 minutes or so, and it is not unusual that it doesn't complete in 10 minutes if a server isn't running, for example, and then would time out and then would try to roll back, and then you are in trouble because you can't roll back either because that SharePoint service wasn't running. One very important, what we are really excited about, an important aspect of the configuration tool is that the configuration tool actually does absolutely nothing other than running PowerShell scripts. We think this is pretty cool because, A, if a tool doesn't do anything, it doesn't get into trouble. And B, if it actually fails, don't despair. First step, and it is not unusual that the config tool doesn't complete. It does happen sometimes that the timer service takes some time to deploy something. Just run the config tool again, and most likely in a second attempt, it will then succeed because in the meantime, the timer service completed its work. And if it still fails, I'm not saying it runs all the time successfully, then you have the option to go deeper and actually go into the PowerShell scripts that we use and see what actual step there actually is that is failing, investigate that, see if you can run it manually, and if all fails on that level, you can go into SharePoint Central Administration directly and perform the configuration step manually, see if that succeeds most likely then. If that fails also, you will notice that there is something not really correct in at the SharePoint level. So there's a lot of flexibility here in the configuration tool. It's also a great way to script the entire deployment, because this configuration tool, and I'll come to the demonstration in a little bit, actually provides you a script tab, which is not really readable here. I'll come to that in a moment, which gives you for every deployment step or configuration step that you see on the, in the left pane, the exact command that it is executing. And you can then go and investigate this either directly in the script tab or in these PowerShell files. These three files are actually the scripts that the config tool loads. They include method definitions that the config tool then runs, and you can run these methods directly, or you can look into these methods and see what actual commandlets they are using, and you can run these commandlets manually. If you want to create an entire deployment on based on scripts, make sure you deploy our SharePoint solutions at the farm level at least, because that we'll give you our commandlets. We add about 17 commandlets to PowerShell on a PowerPivot server so that you can configure the entire system on the command line, and the PowerShell reference is available online. So let me show you the PowerPivot configuration tool. Unfortunately, I only have one demo machine available, so the first thing I need to do is ask you all to close your eyes, because I need to screw up my SharePoint configuration so that my config tool doesn't recognize this deployment anymore. So I need to rename this key. Please don't do this ever on a production server. I also need to rename Central Administration, because that is a reserved name and the config tool will complain when it finds it. So now I'm ready to run my config tool. I'll show you where it is in the program group. So it's on the SQL Server 2012 configuration tools, PowerPivot configuration tool. It will inspect my farm environment, which it can't find right now. Little side note while it starts up. If it would find my farm, it would find that it is fully deployed and it would give me an empty task pane, because there's nothing to configure for the config tool at this point. It's also very important, if you have a partially configured farm, the config tool will analyze the state of your farm and will give you exactly the remaining steps that it needs to perform. Here in this case now, my config tool of course thinks that I need to configure the entire environment. You specify the service account for your, the password for your farm account, which the config tool derives from the service account you specified during SQL setup for the AS engine. It immediately recognizes that I have a relational engine installed as part of SQL setup, which it suggests to use for the configuration and content databases. And it asks me for the master key for my SharePoint environment. And then you click validate, and it will go through all the steps that it plans to perform and checks whether the required information is here. And you can see then here on the left pane the individual steps that it wants to carry out, such as configuring the farm. I promised you that you can individually check what components we are actually using on the PowerShell level. You can see, for example, the path to the PowerShell script if you want to open it directly in Notepad. And then if you want to go through the individual steps and what exactly they are, what commands they are carrying out, you can see this individually here. And for example, if you want to perform these steps in a script yourself, just copy the lines out here or look directly into the PowerShell scripts. Okay, let's bring my farm back. I hope it's still alive. And then we'll carry on. double checking here that I still have access to central admin. That's the scary part. Thank goodness we're back. Great. Otherwise, there would be no more demos. So I talked already a little bit about the fact that the SQL setup just puts down the files on the file system, and the config tool puts up the SharePoint solution packages we have and deploys them in your SharePoint environment. We have two SharePoint solutions. One is for the farm level, and the other one is for the site for the web application level, so that our PowerPivot features can actually be made available within the site collections that you have created. One important aspect of this web application solution is that it needs to be deployed for every web application that you create. The PowerPivot config tool will do it automatically for you. For the web application, it finds in the farm. But if you create new web applications, it might be necessary for you to go into central admin. Let me show this here under your... where was it again? I think it's under system settings. You can manage your farm solutions. And here in this space, you will see our two packages. The one that is globally deployed is at the farm level. You don't need to worry about this one. But the one for the web applications, you might have to. I don't have any web application here. You would get a deploy solutions link here. You would select this, and you would specify your web application, and you would deploy our solution for the new web applications when you created them to make PowerPivot available in the site collections that are hosted in this web application. Another aspect that is sometimes creating confusion for users at the SharePoint site level is that the gallery might not be available to them, or some other features such as our BISM connection files, they may not have the links to create those. When that appears, it's either that our web application solution isn't deployed on the web application level, or that our site collection features aren't activated in the site collection, and I would like to show you that too. I have a little demo for that. So when you are in a SharePoint site, it needs to be the root site of your site collection, otherwise you will not find the link. And you are the site collection administrator, of course. You will get this section for site collection administration. If you don't see the site collection administration section in your site, you are not at the root site of the site collection, of course. Then you would have to go to the site higher in your URL path until you find it. Most of the time, site collection administrators know, however, what their site collection root site is. And then in the site collection section, you will find the site collection features. And in here, you'll find our PowerPivot feature for site collections. And you need to make sure that this is active. When it's active, you get the gallery, you get our, for example, when a user wants to create a new gallery, you get this document library type in here. If you see it, you know that our site collection feature is active. And then you would specify a name like what I already did here. Upgrade. For those of you who have SQL 2008 R2 PowerPivot for SharePoint deployed, make sure that you have the Service Pack 1 installed in the farm before you try to upgrade to SQL Server 2012. And then it's SQL setup, it will recognize the deployment and will upgrade the server for you. Don't forget to deploy the CU1, as mentioned. And then it's, again, time to run the PowerPivot configuration tool on top of that. The PowerPivot configuration tool will update the SharePoint farm configuration. It's the same principle when you update a SQL Server 2012 installation. Let's say you have deployed SQL Server 2012 and fully configured it, but you haven't deployed the CU yet. So you download the CU and you install it. again, you need to run the Power Pivot configuration tool afterwards, because the deployment of the CU only updates the files on the file system, but you also need to update the configuration database in SharePoint, and that is only performed within the Power Pivot configuration tool or within the PowerShell scripts. Another important aspect when you update a server is the sequence that you are running through if you have multiple Power Pivot application servers in your SharePoint environment. This is only, of course, necessary to perform on the Power Pivot application servers, not on other SharePoint servers. But if you have multiple servers, update the server, run the Power Pivot configuration tool on that server, then go to the next server. The moment you update a Power Pivot server this way, all other servers in the farm become unavailable, because all Power Pivot application servers in the farm always must have the same patch level. The reason for that is the moment you deploy with the Power Pivot configuration tool the new solution packages, the assemblies in the global assembly cache on all these other servers don't match anymore what the configuration settings say in the SharePoint configuration database. Go through it one at a time, update, run config tool, and you will be fine. So let's switch from installing a single server and patching a single server now to the SharePoint topologies that you might encounter, you might want to deploy. The single server is a very popular deployment form for small teams that don't have a SharePoint environment anywhere else that is Power Pivot enabled. So if you don't have a global farm where you can put your Power Pivot workbooks, deploy a single server, it's relatively easy. If you go through all the steps and run the config tool, you're up and running, and then you can share Power Pivot workbooks and configure data refresh on that machine. A better configuration if you're planning to scale the environment out would be to have a separate SQL backend. Here on my machine, of course, I run everything on my little notebook. That would be the single server. If you have a separate SQL backend, it makes it easier to move databases around. You can also split from a single server to a SQL Server backend if you have the SQL client installed, because it gives you the ability to define SQL aliases so that SharePoint continues to use that old SQL Server name, but it actually points now to a new SQL Server instance somewhere. And then we have the various forms of scale-outs that you can have in a SharePoint farm. One is you run the same identical configuration on every SharePoint server, then you have the front-end services and the application services on the same machines. This is not necessarily the best way to do it, but it is one supported configuration. And the other one is, of course, you really scale out an environment for security reasons. You only have the web services on the front-end servers accessible to the clients. The application servers are already entirely inaccessible, and you run Power Pivot and Excel services on separate machines, or you run them on the same machine. That is a question for how you design your application servers for the workload you are anticipating. Excel services is memory hungry. Power Pivot is extremely memory hungry. Remember that this is an in-memory technology. So all the workbooks that you load in SharePoint actually must fit into the memory of this application server that is selected. And it might be, for memory capacity reasons, a good idea to keep the Power Pivot application servers separate. Of course, then you encounter a network latency aspect in your communication between Excel servers and Power Pivot. We'll come to this communication in detail in a moment. I just plotted out how you can move from a single environment to more and more complexity in your SharePoint farm environment, depending on how many users are beginning to use Power Pivot and how the workloads are going to increase over time, perhaps. It's basically the same what I already explained. So let's talk more about the system architecture that we have in Power Pivot for SharePoint. When you install SQL Setup, I already mentioned it, we don't touch the farm. All you get is an AS server that sits there. It is a special AS instance that runs in Power Pivot mode. It cannot host any multidimensional databases, and it cannot host tabular databases. It is specific for Power Pivot. There are people who want to host tabular databases. They don't really want to install multiple instances. Even if you could tweak the system to do this, I wouldn't do it because the workloads are so different, you run into unpredictable performance issues with tabular databases if you were to put them on the same instance. That is one of the reasons why we split this and made it a dedicated role. Because you, in a power pivot environment, question? No. No. If you have just multiple instances, there's no licensing impact for you. In a power pivot environment, the way the system works is you load a lot of workbooks, you query them, you throw them away, you load them again. It's a totally different workload than you have a tabular database. It's loaded once and it's always there, available for querying and processing. But at this stage, there's nobody loading any Power Pivot workbooks here. This AI instance is just sitting there waiting for somebody to talk to it, but there's nobody talking to it. So that is when you run the config tool, you get the second part of the system, which is our Power Pivot system service. This is a SharePoint shared service. It is a, I hope it is, can be recognized as a web service directly within SharePoint web services here. If you switch on the content view, you can see this is the analysis services mid-tier service.svc. That is the indicator that this is our Power Pivot system service. If you run the Power Pivot configuration tool, it will create this system service on the machine that runs your AS instance. And these two services always need to run together on a Power Pivot application service. There's nothing you need to do. They always do run together. They are bundled that way. And together, these form our Power Pivot service application. So when you create a Power Pivot service application, either through the config tool, either through Power Pivot, through PowerShell, or in the central administration user interface, you will actually create this Power Pivot system service and enable the analysis services instance together with it. The Power Pivot system service makes the AS server accessible to the SharePoint system. One of the roles that the system service has is it loads the workbooks out of the content database onto the local file system of your AS server, and then it sends an image load command to the AS server and says, hey, please load this workbook as an AS database for me. The AS instance itself is relatively unaware of what's going on around it. It just is an engine to process databases and query them and return results. The system service is the piece that actually uses the AS engine for querying these databases. So, at this point, I would like to take another look into central administration and show you how our configuration settings are organized. Now that's the wrong site. The easiest way to get to our configuration settings is through the management dashboard. You can also get to the service applications through the standard user interface, the normal path. You go under service applications and say manage service applications, and you will see our Power Pivot service application right here. When you click on it, you also reach the management dashboard first. And this management dashboard provides the link, I already pointed it out once, to configure the service application, which configures the settings at the global level for both the system service and the service application directly. There are some connection pools that you don't necessarily have to tweak unless you're really in a support situation. You can specify what load balancing algorithm you want to use if you have multiple Power Pivot servers in your farm. By default, we use a health-based load balancing algorithm. So the system actually looks at what server is currently not so busy, and then you choose that to load the next Power Pivot database. You can also have some data refresh-related settings. I'll come to them later. You can specify when inactive workbooks should be unloaded. We don't unload databases aggressively because a user might have to or might want to query a workbook again. You open it once, you close the browser. 5 minutes later, you open the same workbook again. We don't reload the workbook every time. We keep it on the disk. We keep it loaded in AS for some time, and if you come back, you will notice it's a lot faster because we just use the loaded database. So these settings are at the service application level, but as I mentioned, we also have an AS instance sitting underneath this all, And this AS instance is actually available under the service settings. When you say manage the services on the server, here in the list you will see that the Power Pivot system service and the analysis service always run together. They should always be started and stopped together. And here, is that actually the case? Yep, they're both started. And here the analysis services server has a specific link which allows you to configure settings specifically for this one service on that one machine. The service application settings apply to all the servers in your farm. The settings that you specify here at the service level are actually just for the AS instance itself. And the most important one to point out is that you can configure an analysis services Power Pivot server as a data refresh dedicated machine. You can say, for example, don't load any read-only Power Pivot workbooks on this machine, which means during normal querying, when a user interacts with a workbook, these workbook models will not be loaded on this machine. You can also specify how many workbooks this one particular server can refresh concurrently. So this is what I wanted to convey, is that there are two main locations to configure your system. One is at the individual service level per server, and the other one is at the service application level. So we have now a functioning system, basically. The system service can load the workbooks and can forward queries, and the AS instance can load these workbooks and process them for us. But who is talking to this system? Let's take it to the next step, and that is workbooks as a data source from outside the farm. It's very important to distinguish outside and inside the farm environment. Outside the farm, if you have published a Power Pivot workbook in SharePoint, you can access this workbook like an AS database as the data source. You just specify the workbook URL, and the way this works is that the data providers underneath your client application will take that data source string, recognize that it is an Excel workbook, and will change the URL to point to our Power Pivot web service in the site where this workbook is hosted. And then they will forward the request to this web service, which will forward the request to our system service, which happily will load the workbook for you into AS and then forward the query and return the responses to the client application. And to the user, it appears that this is an AS database. Yes? Yes. Security is enforced at the SharePoint site level because at the end of the day, you're trying to access a workbook out of a content database. So when your client application comes to the Power Pivot web service, this is a very important aspect, thank you for asking that, the user is authenticated, and we only support web applications in classic Windows mode. One of the reasons we don't support claims-based authentication in SharePoint is that the data libraries don't really know how to do this, how to redirect to a web-based claims authentication provider, get the user authenticated, and then present the claims token to the web service. Another reason why we don't support claims has to do with data refresh. I'll come to this in a little bit. The system service, you've seen, I can specify credentials, will actually authenticate the user. That is a Windows logon, and Windows logons don't work in claims-based environments. We have in SharePoint 2010, we would like it, but there is no API for us to enable claims-based support. So this client will authenticate against the web service. At that moment, this is a SharePoint service, actually. The user is authenticated, and actually, he is a claims identity, even though he is using Windows Classic Auth. But this claims identity can be reworded to a Windows identity when the system needs it. This identity flows to the system service, which is actually performing this retrieval of the workbook on behalf of the user. It's not accessing this workbook at this moment as the system service. It's using the user identity for this. Yeah? Yes, that is one option. You can do that. You can have a web application that a SharePoint site collection. You can extend the web application to have two web application instances in IIS, and you can have one as Windows Classic and one as claims-based. That is possible. Yes, but our requests need to be on the Windows Classic web app. Inside the farm, the scenario is a little different because within the farm, Excel calculation services, for example, or if you have PowerView installed, these application servers cannot go to a front-end service. First of all, it's an unnecessary loopback. The other reason is, for security reasons, application servers really cannot talk to front-end servers in a really well-configured and secured farm. Here, our data providers will recognize that they are running in the farm, and they will actually go directly to the Power Pivot system service through a component which we call the channel transport. Essentially, let's say you go with PowerView, you specify a workbook by clicking that button. It's actually in the data source string. You have the workbook URL, and adomd.net says, wait a minute, is this workbook in my local farm? It's trying to load the SharePoint object model and get to the workbook, and it figures out, yes, I am. Well, then I talk to the system service directly and pass the request, and then the rest of this scenario is the same. The system service grabs the workbook from the content DB. On the front-end side of these application services are the various components that you can have, like the gallery is really rendering workbooks. It doesn't really go directly to calculation services. It actually uses the SharePoint front-end web services first. The management dashboard uses Excel Web Access parts, so it's kind of talking more to Excel Web Access first. Excel Web Access, of course, talks to ECS, and the reporting services add-in talks to PowerView, and you can have other services that do the same, like performance point services can use adomd.net. You can have custom applications that do the same. This is not specific to any service application that Microsoft provides. You can have custom solutions in SharePoint that use our data providers. And if you, the data providers see a workbook URL, they do the same for you that they do for PowerView and for Excel calculation services. That's almost all our system architecture, except we have some timer services in here too that run on a continuous basis. Our management dashboard processing timer job, for example, has the job to take the usage data and stick it into the management dashboard workbook so that you can actually see the data. The usage processing is related to that. We come to this architecture later. The setup extension timer job's purpose is to look at all the Power Pivot application servers and check that this patch level on every server is the same and send generate a warning for you if it isn't. Data refresh is a timer job. Every minute, the data refresh timer job kicks in and tells the system service to check if there are new workbooks that it needs to refresh. And we have a health statistics collector, which checks the system to see how the memory usage is doing and so forth. Let me show you real quick what one outcome of our health rules can be. You see this red bar. If you are a farm administrator, this might be familiar to you. And if you look at your system, you will see that we happily fire in some errors and warnings if we detect some. For example, on my machine, you will see that our Power Pivot service uses actually an account that is in the local administrators group. I don't have a choice here because I run on a domain controller, so we are not really happy with that. And there are other rules that are not necessarily Power Pivot related, like, you know, the farm account should not be used for services, etc. So let's take a very detailed look at how the communication actually takes place when you interact with a workbook. This is actually, I traced this out of a network trace. You can use network monitor if you're interested in verifying this. So you're looking here at the Power Pivot gallery, and you say, okay, I'll click on this workbook, and I want to see this worksheet. So the first thing that now the browser does is it sends a request to Excel Web Access. This is the Excel Viewer Access. The first is, of course, you need to get authenticated. In this case, we use classic mode authentication. This is a typical NTLM dance. And then EWA sends an open workbook request to Excel Calculation Services. And the first thing Excel Calculation Services does is retrieve the workbook from the ContentDB. And that can take some time, in relative terms, of course, because the data is chunked out of the ContentDB in certain sizes, I think 10K by default. Meanwhile, EWA also queries the ECS instance to check if it's still there because it's busy, are you okay, and it gets a health response back. And at some point in time, the workbook is loaded. And in this case here, I hope it's visible, the user has set this refresh data on opening flag inside the workbook. You can do this in Excel on the data tab. You look at the data connections, you go to the properties, and you can enable this flag. If you do, you require ECS to actually query the data each time when you open the workbook so that the user actually sees the most recent information in this file. If you don't enable this, this entire communication actually never involves PowerPivot. Excel services immediately shows you the cached results. This is one of the little gotchas when you verify your installation, when you check out that everything works. You install PowerPivot for SharePoint, you upload a workbook, you open it in the browser, you see it, great, it's perfect, but it actually isn't because Excel services didn't talk to PowerPivot at all at this moment. You haven't verified anything unless you actually click on a slicer for perhaps and interact with the data, or you have this flex set on your test workbook to actually require ECS to go to the PowerPivot instance and refresh the data. So in this case, I have set this flag, but I have a problem in my ECS architecture. This is not directly related to PowerPivot. It's actually Excel services. The claims to Windows token service is not running here. What happens now is, remember I mentioned that the user in SharePoint land is actually a claims user, no matter how he is authenticated. But for Excel services to use our MS OLAP data provider, it needs to revert this identity back to a Windows identity, and it needs to use the claims to Windows token service. And if the service is not running, and it is quite common in SharePoint that the service is stopped for some reason, then the workbook response actually isn't a positive one. It will tell you that user credentials could not be delegated. Whenever you see this error, the first thing you should do is just check that the claims to Windows token service is running. Otherwise, the user will see this error. So in our environment, we did everything correctly. So our claims to Windows token service is running. ECS can actually get the Windows identity of the user back. Life is good. And the user sees this. So when you open a PowerPivot workbook and it starts loading there, now it's actually pretty much done. At least from the first round trip from your user action. But what now happens in the background is that this web page starts with JavaScript to poll Excel Web Access to see if the workbook processing is completed. And EWA will actually always tell it, no, not yet. The state ID will tell the browser to keep polling here. Meanwhile, on the other side, Excel Web Access now wants to get to the database, and it uses our MS OLAP provider for that. It communicates with our PowerPivot system service, which now will get the workbook again from the content database. One thing that I forgot to mention, it checks its own service application database to see, is this workbook loaded somewhere already? If yes, then I redirect the request to that instance. If it's not loaded, then I will get it myself and I will load it up on my own instance, and I will update the what we call the instance map to tell every other PowerPivot instance in the farm, hey, I have this workbook now loaded. If you need to access this workbook, come to me. It's the same API. It's a SharePoint object model that does these requests underneath it. Eventually, the workbook is now on the local file system, and then the PowerPivot system service sends this image load command to the AS instance. Meanwhile, EWA is polling ECS, and the browser is polling EWA. The AS instance will restore the workbook as an AS database. It will recalculate all the calculated columns, whatever you have in the workbook, and it will tell the PowerPivot system service, hey, I'm done. And the system service will say to ECS, hey, we're good to go. You can ask us what you want to ask us. And what you will now see is actually a number of discover requests where ECS now wants to discover what's in the database. This is actually one of the very important aspects of a PowerPivot for SharePoint environment. The number of requests that Excel services generates against an AS instance is directly proportional to the complexity of your PowerPivot workbook. It isn't that when you click on a slicer that you only see one request. At the very minimum, you see two. The slicer's own state also needs to be queried. And if you have cross-linked these slicers with other slicers, then these slicers also need to refresh. So what you will see here actually in the backend is quite a number of requests that are coming out of the system. But eventually, we'll come to the actual execute requests that retrieve the data. Eventually, the workbook data is loaded and refreshed on the ECS instance. And what happens next when the front end polls? It'll get a state ID back that says, hey, we're done. And now the web page actually pulls the content from EWA, and the content can be the pivot tables, it can be slicers, and it can be charts. And that is the entire interaction in a SharePoint environment when you interact with a Power BI workbook. Well, and that's what it looks like in the end. You see your results. Let's switch to the topics a little bit from interacting with the workbook now to schedule data refresh. I already pointed it out that you can automatically process your workbooks on the server. There are two types of data refresh in SharePoint, just as there are basically two types of refreshes in an Excel client application with the Power Pivot Edit installed. The interactive data refresh actually doesn't refresh any data. It's a very interesting aspect, in the sense that when you open a Power Pivot workbook in the browser and you click this refresh data button, it doesn't refresh. What ECS does is it goes to the Power Pivot table and queries the same data again. It's the same if you are in the Excel client and you go to the data tab and click refresh. The client goes to the Power Pivot database and refreshes the data from there, but it doesn't refresh the Power Pivot data that's in the model. For that on the client, you would have to go into the Power Pivot window and click refresh there. And on the server, you need to use schedule data refresh. We only refresh the model when you configure scheduled data refresh, and then it really is the system service loading the workbook into the AS instance and sending processing commands to the database. The AS instance goes out to the data sources, brings in the data into the model, and then the system service actually sends a save command back and stores the updated workbook in the content database. What also happens at this point, and I already showed you this flag, the system service also will set this data refresh on open flag, because the system service cannot update the workbook cache. Without this flag, if the user opens this workbook, the user would still see old stale data unless the user explicitly triggers the interactive data refresh. And by setting this flag, we avoid this. The side effect of it is that now when the user opens the workbook, the data is refreshed every time. So how does data refresh really work under the surface? When you are in the user interface, this page that I already showed you, you're actually communicating with the system service. Our refresh settings are stored in our service application database, and the user doesn't have access to that. The user communicates with the system service, and the system service here uses its own identity to write the data into the service app DB. So when you specify a schedule, say you run every Monday or so, then we serialize that schedule object into our service application DB. When you specify credentials, we actually store these credentials in a secure store service. So this is one of the dependencies we have when you want to have schedule data refresh enabled. You need to have the secure store service running in your SharePoint farm so that these credentials can be stored securely. Then we have, as I mentioned already, the timer job, which runs every minute, basically kicking in the system service. And the system service will go to the service app DB, look at the work queue. Is there a workbook that I need to refresh right now? If yes, then it will get loaded and refreshed. And the history will be written into the service application database. And the next time the user looks at the user interface, the user can see whether the refresh was successful or not. You can also specify in the UI that you want to receive email notifications on your refreshes so that you are alerted when something goes wrong. And there's quite a chance that something doesn't work successfully in scheduled data refresh scenarios because your data sources might not be accessible to the server if the data providers are missing. Let's say you have an Oracle database, but you haven't installed Oracle data providers on your application server, then the Power Pivot system service and the AS instance, specifically the AS instance on that machine, cannot reach that data source, and it will fail. Or you have imported text files, and you do have the data provider, but the text files were actually on the local computer of the user. Well, then you will not get to these data sources either, but the user will be informed about these aspects as part of that notification email or when the user looks into the UI. And that's really all there is to it, to our scheduled data refresh. Let me show you real quick that page again where you can specify the email notification. Actually, that's the trivial part. So when you enable the schedule down here, you have a section where you can specify who should receive an email if a refresh doesn't succeed. Or if it does succeed, then I get an email too. Here, this workbook has multiple data connections. As I mentioned, you can specify individual settings. Let's go to the central administration page. I already explained to you, you can configure a Power Pivot server specifically for scheduled data refresh. There are more settings in 2012 that help an administrator stay in control of the environment with regards to a scheduled data refresh, which are at the Power Pivot service application level. What we've noticed in 2008 R2 is that some users upload workbooks and configure scheduled data refresh. Whether it succeeds or not, they don't care. They forget the workbooks. You create a workbook at this moment, it is super important for you. You upload it to the farm, you configure manage scheduled data refresh, and the week later, the workbook isn't that interesting anymore, but the user leaves the workbook behind in the farm, and it is configured for scheduled data refresh, perhaps even on a daily basis. And now the system service keeps refreshing this workbook forever, and nobody ever really looks at it. We have a new setting in our system for data refresh that enables you to, the farm administrator, to pause or deactivate scheduled data refresh for workbooks that are no longer in use. We check whether this setting here, we check whether a user has actually accessed the workbook, and if after 10 cycles of refresh, there nobody ever looked at it, we stop at this moment and don't refresh this workbook until the user looks at this workbook again, and then we'll pick it up. And the same goes for data refresh failures. Let's say you don't have an Oracle data provider on your application server. There's no point in us continuously trying to refresh these workbooks. We do it 10 times or as many times as you specify here in the setting and leave the workbook with this data source alone after that. It's enough to show a user in the history 10 errors, I think. And that brings us to the Power Pivot Management Dashboard, the features that we have in Power Pivot SharePoint specifically for IT administrators to stay on top of this system. The first important aspect is that we integrate our management dashboard architecture with the usage infrastructure in SharePoint, so make sure usage data collection is enabled. It is enabled by default, but some administrators prefer to disable it, and if you do, then you will notice that your management dashboard will be rather empty. Our client libraries, our front-end service, and our system service, all our SharePoint-enabled components write usage information if usage logging is enabled. And the SharePoint usage data import timer job kicks in at its processing intervals, and we extend this timer job with our own components. And we take our relevant pieces out of the usage log and write them into usage tables in our system application database, service application database. There's another timer job that's relevant in the old system. In 2008 R2, we actually put our usage data first into the usage data tables in the logging database in SharePoint. We don't do this anymore. This hop was unnecessary, but we retained the SharePoint timer job for that in case there is still something in the SharePoint usage database here. Then we'll pick it up and put it also into our service application database. At this moment, you still don't see the data. It's in our service app DB, and our service app DB is basically just another data source for us. And our management dashboard is based on a workbook, and we process this workbook at daily intervals and put the data from our service application database into a master source data workbook, if you will. And then on top of this workbook, this acts as a data source for us. In workbooks as a data source, we have additional linked workbooks, which you actually then see in the dashboard pages. The reason we did this is so that we could localize this conveniently. These workbooks are localized into all the languages that SharePoint supports. This is only one instance of the workbook. It makes it easier to build custom solutions. You could, for example, go in and create a Power View report on top of this management data workbook, or you can link to it with other workbooks and consume this and mesh this up with additional information. There's actually more information in this source data workbook than we expose in the management dashboard. And if you are interested in customizing this solution or building custom solutions on top of it, there's a white paper available on the internet that discusses all the details about it. And the URL is in this slide deck. So we have 5 minutes left. Let me go real quick through this, and then maybe if we have some questions, we'll have a Q&A. You've seen the management dashboard. I'm not going to go much more into detail what it provides. You can see this when you open the management dashboard directly. What I want to show you is actually this source workbook, where it is located in central administration. Here you see the linked workbooks that actually use the management data, and here you have an ODC data file that makes it easy for you to access the source workbook. And if you really want to see the structure, how we built this, you have to view the entire site content in central administration. Remember, central administration is just a SharePoint site like every other site. And we have a PowerPivot management document library in there with a folder that has a funny grid that corresponds to your service application ID, because you can have multiple service applications, so we need a way to distinguish them. And in here, you will have all the language IDs of all these localized workbooks and the management data workbook that actually contains your source data. This workbook in itself, when you open it in Excel, is rather uninteresting because it's empty, but it has the PowerPivot model in it, underneath it, which it basically provides to the actual workbooks that use it, like in the English case here, the server health workbook or the workbook activity workbook. And you see these workbooks in the web parts in the management dashboard. And just the same way, you can link to this source data workbook and build your own custom solutions. And that is, brings me to the last slide of my presentation, what I also want to point out for you in the SharePoint environment are the tools that we typically use to troubleshoot issues that might occur, you know, the unexpected error that SharePoint users love. The first and foremost tool that you need to use in a PowerPivot or SharePoint environment to investigate any issue, to see what is going on, is the ULS parsing tool. It's available for free on the internet. The ULS viewer, in almost all cases, when you contact support or ask directly in a development group, the first thing we ask is, do you have ULS logs? That's what we need to look at. Otherwise, we can't really see what is going on. Fiddler is also a very cool tool if you are interested in seeing the interaction between services or clients and services. It helps to see what is going on at the protocol level. Network Monitor is also available if you really want to see all the details of the communication between the various systems. And Performance Monitor can help to see certain things, like, for example, the memory consumption on a server. Remember, we stick all the data into memory, and if your server doesn't have enough memory, then we start throwing older workbooks away in order to load the new workbook, and then users might start complaining about performance. We've talked about the management dashboard that is available directly with the product, and the management dashboard source workbook, which you can use to extract information from there. You can also, it's one of the very common questions when you have deployed SharePoint and you want to verify that you actually have a functioning system, you can use Management Studio to look at the AS server and see the workbooks that are loaded. Let me show that. We have 30 seconds, unfortunately, and let me not show it. You can connect to the AS instance, and you see the workbooks loaded. The same way you can run SQL Profiler against the AS instance and see the interaction and the commands that the system server sends. If you're interested in seeing the user identity, for example, the SQL Profiler will show you the actual user that is interacting with the workbook. And you have various resources available for help. We have a Power Pivot team blog where you can reach me, for example, directly. You can send us messages. They go to all the PMs in the development group. If you have feedback, if you have ideas, please do so, submit. And we will definitely respond. We also have Twitter and, another useful source of information is this chapter 9 out of the book. Any questions? Other interesting sessions here at TechEd that you might want to attend? I listed all the BI-related ones there in your little booklet, all the things that start with DBI. And that's it. Thank you very much.